Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Remember when everyone was doubting Brent Venables after year one in Norman? This time last year, everybody was real concerned about the direction of the program under Brent Venables heading into year two. Was he just a DC? Was he just a career DC that was really never going to make it as the head coach? Those were questions that were being thrown around this time last year. Well, in 2023, he went and improved that win total by 4 wins, going from the 6-7 record to the 10-3 record last year in 2023. Now, did they leave some meat on the bone a little bit and losses to Kansas and Oklahoma State and go into that bowl game in the Alamo Bowl against Arizona? Sure. But massive step in the right direction when you can improve your win total, especially going from year one to year two to from 6-10. That's a big win total no matter who you are. 4-game swing, massive. And it's going to be a massive – and that's a massive step in the right direction for being honest here when you're heading into a new conference like the Southeastern Conference in 24, which – this is going to require for this program to take that next step, another elite level step from a week in, week out standpoint, whether the roster or personnel is truly ready for it or not. But I am your host, Dave Shoemake, coming at you here from the SEC Unfiltered platform. I appreciate you joining us. Like, subscribe if you like this content. It's SEC content 24/7, 365. But first, Oklahoma, truly one of the mystery teams to me, not even just in the SEC, but from a national standpoint heading into 2024. Third year, like I mentioned, for Brent Venables, coming off a 10-win season in 23. But I specifically want to lock in and focus on the month of November. The November slate going to tell us a lot for this Oklahoma Sooner team in 2024, in my opinion. It's going to tell the tale. I really think it's going to set the tone for how Oklahoma is going to be viewed in what could be a really good 2025 season for them. Oklahoma arguably has the hardest schedule in the SEC. I know a lot of people want to talk about Florida, and they're in that mix too. But I think what makes Florida's schedule so difficult is the 3 non-conference games against the other big three teams in their state. But from an Oklahoma perspective, I think Oklahoma's actually conference schedule probably a little harder than Florida's, if we want to be honest. We're splitting hairs, but extremely difficult. So Oklahoma's not going to be used to. It's not. And I know we'll get to the Oklahoma November schedule here just in a minute. And you're going to be like, Dave, they play Maine in the first week. I'm talking about those other three. Talk about those other three games. We'll get to it. But just for reference here, so you know before I show you Oklahoma's November schedule, this was Oklahoma's November schedule last year. At Oklahoma State, West Virginia at home, at BYU and TCU. Let me repeat that. At Oklahoma State, West Virginia at home, at BYU and TCU. Two out of those four teams had losing records, finished 5-7, BYU and TCU. And Oklahoma lost one of these games at Oklahoma State. So I just want to bring up Oklahoma's 2024 schedule for you. This is the top of it. Specifically, we'll show the whole schedule here in a minute. The November slate. Opening up with Maine. That should be a win. This is the one I preface. People are going to be like, oh, they play Maine out of those four. Yeah, I get it. Then you go at Missouri, bye week, Alabama at home, and at LSU. I would have a hard time. I don't know what Maine's record's going to be. I haven't done a lot of research on the fight in Stephen King's, the Black Bears, whatever you want to call them. But I don't think Missouri, Alabama, or LSU are going to have losing records, like two out of the four final opponents, like TCU and BYU, that Oklahoma faced in 2023, their last season in the Big 12. I don't think they're going to face this. I think Oklahoma's season is going to be make or break with what they do starting on November 2nd. That's a non-negotiable win, like I said, against Maine. But what they really do in conference play at Oklahoma, get a little time to go recharge those batteries, get rejuvenated heading in those final 2 weeks of Alabama coming to town and heading to LSU. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you here. I think they're going to be 6-2 heading into those last four, heading into the month of November. I think Oklahoma, not ready to officially put a prediction on it, but I'm doing a preseason football magazine for the CFP pod right now. We'll have that out. I'm doing the SEC one. Just been working around some Oklahoma stuff right now. And I just really pulled up the November slate. I said, that's going to make their season because I think they're going to be 6-2, like I mentioned, heading to that month. Because I think they're going to get Temple, Houston, Tulane. Then you'll be 3-0. Josh Heupel returns to his alma mater. I think Oklahoma's going to win that one. They're going to be 4-0. I think they're going to drop it at Auburn, though. If I had to say right now, again, this is not my official prediction. But I think they're going to go drop that one at Auburn because Oklahoma's going to find out when Auburn's good and that energy and that fan base is really juicing up Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's a tough place to play, probably top three easily toughest place to play in the SEC when Auburn is good. I think Auburn's going to be undefeated heading into that game. I think they'll have Arkansas, their SEC opener, the week before at home. I think Auburn should be, if they get by Cal as well, should be undefeated. So Jordan-Hare's going to be rocking, especially with a blue blood like Oklahoma coming to town. Auburn's undefeated. I think Oklahoma's going to be undefeated. You could have college game day there. Auburn plays well in that environment. You have a bye week. I think Texas, Oklahoma had a good season last year. Texas obviously had a good season last year. Went to the playoffs, won the Big 12. Oklahoma won that game last year. Dylan Gabriel put on his superhero cape and won that game. I think Texas gets revenge here. I think they have the better roster. Now, I think we'll talk about Oklahoma's roster here in a bit. It's better than it's been in a while. But from top to bottom, Texas has the experience at the position. They've been these biggest. I think they get revenge here. So that's two losses. They're going to take back-to-back is what I would think right now. Winning at South Carolina, I think they get their big signature win here before they get to the month of November at Ole Miss. Call me crazy. I think they're going to sneak up and get one. They're not supposed to. So I think there's one right there. And you're 6-2 heading into the month of November, in my opinion. Let's see. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-2 with everything still in front of you to play for. An SEC title appearance up for grabs. I mean, granted, you'd probably go win all of them, but still it's up for grabs. And a playoff appearance still up for grabs. Probably have to go win all of them, but still, your whole season still in front of you. Imagine if you go win that Missouri game and you have that bye week to go get refreshed, maybe get some key guys back from injury, because we never talk about injuries in depth really in the offseason. We don't. In special teams, that's a conversation for another day. But we don't talk about the depth and how key that be. If they could get some guys back into that Alabama-LSU stretch. And again, I think that at LSU game is very winnable. Oklahoma may have a better roster than LSU from top to bottom right now in their top 40. And if you listen to me, I'm a former personnel guy, worked in college football, the SEC, 10 years in recruiting departments. It's not your top 22, guys. It's your top 40. So just wanted to bring that up. And then I'm going to tell you two key things I really want to see here and how I think November can be great here for Oklahoma. I think they're going to be 6-2 heading into November, but two key critical components will be necessary, in my opinion, if the Sooners want to survive this November stretch. And really, it's like I said, it's going to be the tell-all to that season from a momentum standpoint and how the season finishes from a, hey, how do you handle the transfer portal in December and your true high school signing class? Because recruiting, the roster management has been fine under Brent Venables. But let's see here. I think it's going to be how Brent Venables takes on the CEO mindset. He's been a career DC. His Kansas State days, Clemson days, Oklahoma days with Bob Stoops. Does it pay off this November? Look, they improved in 2023 from giving up 30 points per game in 2022 to only giving up 23 points per game in 2023. Let me repeat that. In 2022, they gave up 30 points per game in Venables' first year. Last year, they improved in 2023. They made a move from Ted Roof, bringing in a guy that we see it a lot, that Brent Venables is really, that he really trusts, new DC Zach Alley.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Young cat, been around the Clemson program, knows how Venables wants to run, similar to how Nick Saban viewed Kirby Smart, how Kirby Smart views Glenn Schumann. This is kind of that relationship from the people I trust that I know about that relationship. And speaking of trust, that's going to be key for Brent Venables to be more of a, again, his baby's the defense. He's going to be involved in that, just like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban were. But I think he's going to trust Zach Alley some. If he can go be that CEO, that's what it takes in college football now, managing NIL, helping go raise money for some of these big boosters. I know Oklahoma has money. Football is their sport. I know I'm talking to the blue bloods of blue bloods here. But still, you're managing your roster, talking to your current roster to make sure everything's fine from that standpoint. You're recruiting high school kids. Whether you like it or not, you're tampering in the portal a little bit. It calls spade in NIL. It's pay for play. So you're getting your ducks in a row from that standpoint. So it's not just X's and O's, the head coach. And most knowledgeable football people understand that in today's day, you got to be a CEO of almost a multi-million dollar company, which is what these major college football programs are, especially at a school like Oklahoma. So he's quoted and stated saying he's trying to be that this year. He's handing over the keys to a young cat. Again, I want to reference it. We've seen this before. Nick Saban handed the keys to Kirby Smart. Not saying he wasn't ever in his back pocket. He was. Kirby Smart handing the keys over to Glenn Schumann. Not saying he wasn't in his back pocket. And not saying Brent Venables won't be in Zach Alley's back pocket. Knowing, hey, what are we doing on second and short here? What are we doing in third and long here? Hey, we can't let them get their slot receiver matched up on our freshman safety or vice versa. Not saying it's a real issue, but those are conversations that are going to be had that Brent Venables is going to stick his head in some of these defensive meetings. So I think that'll be key, the transition from the CEO mindset. Does that pay off in November, when he's having more conversations with his strength coach, Jerry Schmidt, about recovery, his trainer, his nutritionist? That's key. You can't just be locked in on ball as a head coach, especially at a big program like Oklahoma. And second, finally, can the offensive line hold up for the final stretch of the season? The roster is replenished, in my opinion, 1 through 85, probably as good as it's been since Bob Stoops was there. I don't think Lincoln Riley did a good job from the defensive standpoint, him and Alex Grinch. So I think it's better than it was under Lincoln Riley. They have a fantastic quarterback in Jackson Arnold. If they can protect him, which brings me to my next point, one position that has major concerns. I don't really have a lot of concerns outside of this offensive line group. Lost all five starters, four to NFL aspirations, and one to Missouri and Caden Green. Throw in some reserves, your sixth, seventh guy, Savion Byrd and Caleb Schaefer has moved on. And you got some guys back from 23 that have made some starts, like Jacob Sexton, Troy Everett. So you have really two guys, but you've lost your top seven. That's tough to replace for any team. That is tough. That's a lot. No sugarcoating it. Ben Benball, he's gonna earn that pay bump he got this offseason that Brent Venables gave him. He's gonna have to. I mean, not many teams are losing five. You hear about four, you hear about three. All five in your top seven, and just a couple starts are back, you're starting over. And then they're gonna learn. The defenses in this league are top to bottom just better than the Big 12. When I worked at Texas A&M, if we were recruiting against Oklahoma or Texas, we would use the Big 12 defensive stats from an NFL draft standpoint against them all the time. I think it was like five, six straight years the Big 12 is a defense. Now, this is going back to 2020, 2021. It's changed since then. But we used to just hammer that home. Hey, the Big 12 for a long time did not have a first-round NFL draft pick on the defensive side of the ball. Like, so that's going to be an adjustment for some of these offenses. You're replacing all five, but for this offensive line, just the individual defensive players on those front sevens, especially they're like, man, that kid's only a freshman. Look at that kid. Look at that kid, only a redshirt sophomore. I mean, just naming the 2024 class that's going to be playing, that this young Sooner offensive line is going to be seeing, are going to be guys like Dylan Stewart, a top edge rusher from last year, coming from South Carolina, who Oklahoma plays. Jordan Ross from Vestavia Hills, who Tennessee signed, one of the top edge players, Oklahoma plays. Amarius Williams from Auburn, they're going to see him. Colin Simmons, kid from the state of Texas who signed with Texas. Jordan Beeman, a young edge rusher, signed with Alabama. You're going to see all those teams on their schedule, South Carolina, Tennessee, Auburn, Texas, and Alabama. I think they're going to be, wow, that kid flashes a lot as a young cat. He may not be polished overall, but let Rodney Garner get his hands on Jordan Ross at that defensive line position, mold that clay. And by middle of the year, they're going to be being, damn, seeing these guys back to back to back every week. Excuse my language there, but that's just how much some of these dudes pop. But just from an overall perspective, I like the defense. Some key pieces are back. Ethan Downs on the defensive line. Danny Stutzman at the linebacker position. Woody Washington, Billy Bowman, Mann in the back end. I like those guys. I like guys like Dejon Terry on the interior. He provides some depth. David Stone, he's in that same conversation as some of those young edge rushers that I mentioned just previously. But the key to holding up in this whole 2024 season for Oklahoma, I think it's going to have this month is going to set the narrative heading into the 2025 season for Oklahoma, in my opinion. This November stretch for Oklahoma and Brent Venables will be key. The key to it will naturally be depth. I'm going to say that about every team. And every team in college football now, the transfer portal, depth's an issue. But also, how does this team transition a young defensive coordinator? How does Zach Alley adjust? And how does Brent Venables adjust being that little more CEO of his corporation, his organization as a whole, more so than just focusing on the X's and O's on defense and, hey, are we a nickel or dime? How will he adjust to that? Really, for the first time, I feel like, from people I talk to, how will that be an adjustment? Will that help to lead to wins in November? That's something nobody talks about. But those are the conversations he's having with some of his support staff members right now. And then finally, how quickly can Ben Bidenbaugh get this offensive line when he's replacing five starters and really only having two guys back that have any kind of experience? How can they adjust to the SEC defensive front? How quickly can that happen? That will be key. The month of November, between Venables adjusting and that young offensive line kind of being more of a veteran group heading into that back half of the season or the last quarter of the season, I think this month of November, how tough it is going to be a difference between 7-5, 9-3, maybe 10-2 if things break Oklahoma's way from not an injury standpoint. Maybe some teams are playing on the back half of November do have some injuries. But at this month of November, it's going to make or break the momentum heading into 2025. And it's going to be a difference, like I mentioned, between 7-5 and 9-3.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.